unexpected drama can happen, even in the house of God. Are you sure? Oh, honey, I'm sure. Oh, I'm positive about that. When the devil can find one person that will not yield to his word, here's what happens. He builds up justification of their sin. And as they begin to be justified, they begin to act on their aggression. Well, I have the right to feel this way because people hurt me. I have the right to do what I'm doing because they've messed with me. I have the right to go after justice for that which afflicted me. You don't have enough power to win. You don't have enough power to do this your own way. And I'm just trying to save you a few months, years of pain and tell you ahead of time, you can't do it on your own. Now, you can by all means say, well, I beg to differ, brother, and go right ahead and do it your own way. But I bet that at the end of it, you won't be happy like you could have been. I'm about to break it down for you. Presence of God begins to move at the beginning of the service. You know what that's trying to do? It's trying to get in there where you are afflicted. It's trying to get in that part of the temple that is bothered, that makes you feel like you can't praise Him, that makes you feel like that you can't obey Him. It begins to seep down into your thought process and to show you that you can do better than what you're thinking that you can do, that you can prosper higher than you ever thought you could prosper before. It tries to minister to us to the degree that once we receive of Him, we begin to do the things that we deliberately set out not to do. Did I ever dream that for 1 minute of my life I'd ever be standing in front of a congregation? No way. But did I know that if I just trusted in Him, He'd take care of me? Yes. My greatest blessings did not come just from obedience alone. The greatest blessings of your life come when He judges a situation in you and can cause you to do the right thing. And that by doing that, poison that it would have been to you will no longer hold you like it could have held you. And that room that you made by letting it go causes you to be stronger than you would have been without Him. How many of you can testify you've tried to do it your own way? If you didn't raise your hand, that's okay. I'm counting you in the number anyway. Because you can get it as silly and as funny as not following the directions on the microwave box when you put it in to heat it. Because I'm that guy. Oh, it only needs a couple minutes. I'll put three or four in there even though it says one. I'm just going to do it that way. And then I get a big old bite of frozen solid in the middle chicken nugget. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what the box said. Then Angela always comes in behind me with her wonderful wisdom and says, if you'd only but read the box, you wouldn't have to be standing here heating it up some more. Well, I guess that's true. And that's what God's trying to get across to us tonight in its simplicity. Because here's our box. Here's our instructions to make it to a properly prepared result. Here's our way to read into how that thing should be prepared. And when we put it away and say, you know what, I got this. When we do that, we'll get a big old bite of all kinds of messed up. And then we look back and think, well, what could I have done better? That's one of those Captain Obvious questions. What could I have done better? And it's almost like, within the millisecond that comes in me, I realize that there's something that I didn't address. And I can't look to Pastor Doris and say it's her fault. And as much as you like to look at me and say it's mine, you can't. Because you know what? I don't have that kind of power. The enemy is the only one that has that kind of power, if you'll let him. But you know how you clothe yourself, how you put on your armor through His word. There are churches today that put more emphasis on just being in His presence than understanding what needs to happen when you feel His presence. It's so much more than a shout. Shouting feels wonderful, but it goes beyond the shout. It goes with you when you lay down at night and you question if you can even get through this thing on your own. The Word of God begins to come in and speak that you can.
Man, I feel that.
I know that we all feel desperate and lonely and desolate and wiped away and just feel totally destroyed at times. But it's only in times when we're not listening to what the Lord would say would we feel the worst in a situation. Think about it. There was a prophet of God that demonstrated Himself proven over 850 people that disagreed with Him. And in that moment, the fire of God came down. Well, my Lord, if I'd been in that experience, you'd thought that I would have danced everywhere else I went the rest of my life. You'd have saw me at Walmart saying, I saw the fire of the Lord coming down. And I saw him come and destroy all of those men that came against me. But where do we find the prophet going? Even after a moment of mighty obedience, he found himself in the cave. Because the word came to him that said, you've got to go and tell them. And he cowered and said, well, I'm all alone. I have no help. Oh, and that's the pastor and preacher's evangelist's biggest woe. Oh, I got no help. I got nobody that understands what it takes to keep it afloat. I got nobody to help me. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Oh, but we've all had those fire of God experiences in our life. But what makes us run? It's the fear of his word, right? That which we don't believe that we can do, we run from. But all that Christ came to establish was that when you couldn't, that through him, you would be able. He come that the law would be fulfilled. And he come that the word would be established. And by that established word, you could then have a foundation to stand on. Not be so wishy-washy, wandering in the wilderness 40 years and hope that you make it to your promised land, but being somebody that can stand fast and say, I know I'm going to get there. Because I'm not going to serve in a church that doesn't believe they're making it to heaven. If you've been saved, you're on your way, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. And we can act like we don't have salvation by the way we conduct ourselves, but he didn't give us such a good gift to act like it's not worth anything. He didn't bless you with blessings just so that you wouldn't know what to do the next time. He blessed you with blessings. Are you ready for this? Somebody say, I'm ready. Give it to me. Are you ready for this? He blesses you with things so that you know that he loves you the next time he speaks to you about something you don't think you can change. So that when you get to that is hard for you to hold your peace. So that it's hard for you to not resort to violence and being upset, that you remember that he loves you because of what he's given you, and the next time it comes up, you're able to say, I know that if God blessed me with that, then that this change isn't anything in the grand scheme of where I'm on my way to. My Lord and my God, I'm not where I used to be, and I'm not on my way to what I once wanted to be. And it took only his word to change my direction. People have just settled, and I'm sorry that you have, if you're one of those. If you've lived the past 10 years of your life and have no change in your happiness, no change in how that you can enjoy your life and go out and do something and enjoy something, then oh, how much that you're missing out on what God can do for you. There are people that are under the grip of depression. And when God, I'm telling you, this is the truth because I've been delivered from it. When the word of God speaks over somebody that's depressed, he'll tell them that there's a way out of it, and their fear of wondering if they could even make it on their own to do it kicks in, and they don't think they can survive. But friends, I'm here to tell you under the authority of the word of God that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen. So those that are depressed, those that are bound and just letting their life continue on for 10, 20 years, you're settling for far less than what God would have you to live with. I went to church 20 plus years of my life feeling like that once I got saved, that the rest of my stuff, I would just have to claim that grace would take care of it. But let me tell you, there's some nonsense that grace ain't going to cover. There's some nonsense that we need to grow up and get out of to show somebody that we're bigger than some rumor, better than some untruth, and better than division. Because you can tell the difference in somebody that's got their church in order and somebody that doesn't, because you can go in and discern that the concern for the lost is gone. It don't take you long to figure that out. When we go to sing, sometimes I don't know if we're going to sing to refresh them or just to sing just to remind them that they're not dead. I don't know which way it's going to be sometimes. And sometimes it's harder than you would think it is. You might think this looks pretty easy what I'm doing right now, but I dare you to try it next weekend and see if it's something that you think is as easy as it looks. It's hard to keep people's attention. It's hard to drive home something that we often reject every single day. It's hard for me to get in an hour's time, something that we should be yielding to every moment, every breath, every time that we ever think of anything. He said if you even thought that you had a problem with something,
somebody that you should take care of it one-on-one. If you even looked at somebody else and lusted after them, then it's no better than you had already taken adultery with them. It only takes one moment for all the things in your life to go another way. And that's why God didn't want to wait to send it through a prophet all the time. That's why he didn't want to wait till Sunday to give you the word. That's why he said that he wanted his word to be established inside of you. Oh, my Lord and my God. Somebody ought to take their Bible. And if you don't got one, get one from somebody. And you put it right here and you say, it's in me. Do you know, my dad sent me an article I read this afternoon. Do you know that there are churches in countries where the Bible is a forbidden book? Then they go and randomly audit them by searching their homes to see if there's a book in there. But I can guarantee you most of us Christians have, I need somebody else's Bible. We got two or three of these things laying around. Somebody give me another one. We've got one in the office. We got one in the study. We've got one on our cell phone. But we don't use one of them. Oh, we don't use one of them. Yet we get upset when something goes wrong. Oh, we don't want to hear this, but I'm going to hand it to you anyway. It's like getting an extra nugget in your five piece. I'm giving it to you anyway. There's something about knowing that when you're in a right now situation, that you can go to a church that'll give you a right now word. And I wouldn't be up here wasting my time. I'm up here with a purpose. I'm here to put the devil on the run in your situation, because I'm here to rock your boat and to tell you that you cannot settle just to do it the way you always done it. It's time that we fall down to the Lord and let him have all the things that we refuse to give up, because I'm here to tell you, your sins will find you out. That which is in darkness shall be revealed, and the devil's plot against you shall be shown. Some of you might think that this is just flat out crazy, but let me speak to those of you that may not be understanding what's going on. I'm ministering to people that know and understand the Word of God at a big level. But let me break it down real simple. If you ever feel something that you know is wrong, your conscience, you know, the world calls it a conscience. But if God gave us the knowledge of right and wrong, then it's something He gave us. So when you become old enough to understand the difference between right and wrong, then the moment when you acknowledge that you know that it's wrong, then you have the knowledge that God gave you to understand. Plain and simple. He gave it to people that was even lost. Do you know why? So that one day when they realized they needed to be saved, they would move to the Word of God. Otherwise, they would never know of a difference to be made. So when you know that something is wrong and you choose to do it anyway, you know what you're saying? You're taking, and I'm not going to do it because I think that would be horrible. It's like you're taking your word, your blessing, and just kicking it away like it's nothing. He didn't bless you just to get you by. Do you know why he blesses you? Do you know why? So that when something else comes that is bigger than you are, that you won't feel like you're unprepared anymore. Without Christ, we would have been unprepared for the wrath of sin. We wouldn't have had enough sheep to slay. We couldn't have raised up enough priests to go in on our behalf. There wouldn't have been enough people that we could have put on the cross to die for us that it would have been worth anything. But through the sacrifice of Christ, we're here today to bask in and know that we are not alone. My Lord, oh, you can act like you are, but He's omnipresent. Even when you don't acknowledge God, He's still with you. Oh, I feel Him. Let me read this last thing tonight, and I'm going to give you some points about what you are as a righteous remnant, because a yielding vessel to judgment means they are righteous. You are only righteous when you yield, not just because you know, because I knew a lot of people that knew the truth. I knew a lot of Christians that still cussed me in the face. Oh, yeah. I've known a lot of people that would abandon their faith if you hurt their baby. They'd abandon who they are if you mess with them. But the Bible said don't be the kind of person that turns around from the mirror and forgets who you are. Let me read these to you. Just humor me for a moment. Zephaniah also talks about in great detail in the second and third chapter about us as the remnant, those who are spared, those who are delivered,
And if you claim Christ as your Savior, when the rapture comes and the wrath to come is upon us, you will be delivered. You will be raptured. You are a part of the remnant. If you say you're a child of God, we're a team, a band of people that is the remnant of Christians that still believe in the fullness of the Word of God, right? So you're a part of the remnant. Say, you're a part of the team. Their sins are forgiven and they are cleansed from their sin. And they will be delivered from or through divine judgment. That means that you won't be punished at the judgment, because if you yield, instead you'll be blessed from the judgment. We will be rescued from the hand of our oppressor when they would have done to destroy us, when the afflictions on our body would have been enough to cause us to give up. As we yield to the word of God, we're then delivered. We have the hope of future blessings. Isn't that wonderful? That we don't have to just bank it on something that's happened in the past. That by faith we know that we can have what our heart's desire is. And now sometimes my heart's desire has not always been what's best. But that's where the will of the Father and His judgment comes upon my desire and shows me if I should have it or not. He's lured me away from jobs before that were better situations. I've been to job interviews where I was more than qualified and I walked away feeling like a failure. Wondered why? You want to know why? Because God loves you enough to close doors even when you think you should go through it. Sometimes our blessings don't come just because we say we want it this way. God takes our ignorance in what we desire and molds it for our purpose that works for our good. And sometimes it's not what we always want 100%, but when you get to the end of something, if you yield to Him completely, you'll be satisfied with whatever it is. We will be given fame and honor. This is all stuff you can read in chapter 3. They will enjoy security and peace. And we will enjoy being in God's presence as He rejoices over them as the objects and people of His love. The ultimate result that we would love to have people see as a church that's active and busy and praising. But ultimately, if we're not a people that can yield when God says change something, then Paul, you know what Paul was talking about? He said, without charity, everything, every gift you have doesn't mean anything. Because let me tell you what love does. It causes us to bend. Wouldn't have. When my mother loved me as a kid, she bent over backwards to give me what I want. When I grew up around people that loved me, aunts and uncles, cousins, friends, they bent backwards to give me what I wanted. And we as a church have to be the kind of people that will have a love that will cause us to bend against our will to perform the will of God. Because ultimately, when we make room for Him, you know what that makes room for in the bigger picture? More people to the kingdom of God. Because He didn't just save us to keep coming back and looking at the same people doing the same old thing. He saved us to be ready to have love, to bend over backward for somebody else. He said, greater love that you can have is no greater than the love that you could have when you laid down your life for somebody else. And I'm going to close with a very honest statement to you. I've been under the sense of urgency because I feel the power of darkness roaming this county right now. And my heart is grievous because I feel the Lord warning His people. He's being patient with us for a season, encouraging us to get in while it's easy. But friends, let's not wait until we're under the weight of a situation before we yield to Him the way we could have. It was easier to yield. I felt the presence of the enemy infiltrating, even in my workplace, even in my family's life. The enemy is seeking to be made devour. Who's willing to admit that they've got something going on that's afflicting them right now? I'm willing to admit it. I've got things going on that the devil's trying to do and work in, and it's hard to maintain your consistency. But this weekend, God has done something in my spirit. And I tell you, friends, I refuse to sit back and watch the devil have his way. So if that means that I jump up 15 minutes into the service, I'm going to do my part, whether it's with a microphone or not. Because if you can feel the power of darkness coming against the church, He doesn't want you just to recognize it. He wants you to do something about it. And until we can be that yielding, I'm trying to get this across to you. This is not a list of do's and don'ts to get what you want. This isn't just to come and confess all that you do wrong to be blessed and highly favored. This is so much more than that. The Bible wasn't a list of do's and don'ts. It is wisdom for us to know the way, even when we don't understand the way. And I felt urgent in my spirit this week to tell somebody. You may not even, but it's going to be doorstep soon. Because I feel to devour. And God has brought this word to you tonight, not by coincidence or circumstance. And I'm not going home tonight with any regrets. You might regret that you listened to this, but I'm not going to regret that I gave it to you, because you will have to answer when God calls your name. You have to yield when He tries to lead you another direction, because it's time to cut out the nonsense, the slothfulness, the unwillingness to do what God would have us to do. Because you know what? If we're not going to, and I felt it for this place, He's not going to continue and prosper here unless we yield. I feel that prophetically. You can take it or leave it. He will not continue and prosper. And I'm telling you, I felt this for two or three other churches. And as they didn't yield, they shut down. And I'm telling you, I felt that urgency this weekend. And you can take it or leave it. But if you feel to do something, don't be intimidated. Just obey Him. And He'll open up a pathway for you. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, nobody that's sitting around you may be there when you need them to be. But He whom you would obey in this hour will be there to take care of you when everybody else is not there. I would encourage you this week to read in the book of Zephaniah. I would encourage you to read about the judgments that was pronounced upon those around Judah. I would want you to read some of the things that were said, and if brought to pass literally in this day, we'd be in trouble. And read towards the end, past verse 13 in the third chapter, to truly unlock the blessing that God's talking about. But he made it sure that when all of that was spoken, that they didn't get to the dessert first, that they understood what it took to get something that was prepared properly, that was done by instruction, and that was given to those that were willing to wait. I can't promise you that tomorrow. And if I got up here and told you the false doctrine, because the Bible told us, and we even read it tonight, that we are the people that are afflicted. We are the people that suffer. But we don't suffer alone, do we? Isn't that what makes it wonderful? We're not alone. And as we come tonight together, let it be reminded by those that sit around you that we're not alone in this fight. So don't you go and cower in a cave, because I'm here with you, and I believe God's moving for it, and I'm not letting go of His promises. And one day down the road, as we yield to Him, He's going to take where we are and make a blessing into what we have desired to come. And out of that, we'll find that God knew His plan all along before we even saw it to come. He already saw and knew our desire to be in a different place way before we even fathomed it to come. He obviously knew who He has wanted to be a part of this body, to orchestrate it for us to learn to work together before we ever go to accomplish something bigger. Because until you can learn to yield to this stuff in here right now, this will shut down in a matter of months. I'm being honest with you. You can take it or leave it. It will not work unless we're yielding to His presence, because you can't do anything bigger unless God's involved in it. Because there's churches that have raised millions of dollars, that have millions of dollars of budget, and they do a lot of good things for people. But when it comes down to the things that changes people's minds, we're not reaching that part. We're raising a generation up that we're just leading them to the blessings and not teaching about God's word to judge us. Because you're not anybody's judge, and you're not good enough to look at anything and say that it's bad. You don't even have the right to. Did you know that? But yet we do it anyway. Oh, we'll properly assess everything and say, oh, I cannot believe them. But you don't even have the right. And that's why as we pray, God speaks to people and shows them. What does it say? The error of their ways? Please do not go out of here and continue and reject what God's speaking to you. Because if you do, I can't preach enough to help you. For those that know the knowledge of the truth and choose not to yield, to them it is sin. For them that know the way to do good and do it not, it is trouble to you. So yield to God when He speaks to you. Because sometimes that might be to be quiet. Sometimes that might be to wait. If you yield, He takes all that we can perceive and moves supernaturally and defies even the devil's plans all and makes something bigger. I am not where I am. I want you to know this. Because of my blessings, I am where I am because of what I've yielded to His word. So don't ever think that this has been an easy road. Because every time God speaks to me about something else that needs to change, it's hard, just like it is for you. But every time that I yield, brother, He never failed. But if I just depend on when people shout, it'll fail you. He said whether prophecies, they would cease. Whether tongues, they would fail. But the willingness to yield or love for God. The love for God says, I'm willing to have your will over mine. Jesus even said in the garden, nevertheless, God, not my will, but yours. A true love for God will say about our situation, not what I would want to keep, but what you would want to take so that I can prosper. This is so important. This is so important. I want you to be blessed, but I also want you to change. Because let me tell you, tomorrow is going to be different than it was last week. And people that were for you today may be against you tomorrow. And if you don't want to be prepared, yield to the word and see what he can do. I don't know the next time I'll ever get to stand. But while I'm standing here now, say with a sense of urgency to you, please yield to the word. It is your only of escape. And without it, we're just making noise. Without it, we're just going motions. And I don't want to keep doing it. I want to reach the people we desire to see reached. And if you believe in vision, then come in willingness to you whatever he would have you to do. And for more dance partners. I'm looking for more shouting buddies. I'm looking for some people to help me take down the cheesecake. I'm looking for some people to come up and sing a new song. The door is open. You've just got to yield, right? I love you, church. Go out of here and think about this and read some of these scriptures and let it confound you. Go beyond what I've said. Read this for yourself and see what God can speak. Because ultimately, all I can do is open it up to your mind. I can't force feed you. You have to choose to want this. And if you choose, he said, choose you this day who you'll serve.